of the flock of God, there had better be that, for if not, I expect you to get rid of me. I want you to know that. I expect you to get rid of me. And you know what I mean by that, don't you? For these officers to have a meeting and to say, nuh-uh, he's not functioning under the mandate of God. We've got to remove him. I expect you to do that. Wise authority means taking the oversight. I must have a pure love for all of you as members. I'm talking about my role. I haven't even gotten to yours yet. Yours is easy, church. Those of you that are swift, you've already read now. Oh, I see what he's going to talk to me about. I see. Do you? We'll see. I've got to have a pure love for all of you as members. I've got to seek your highest well-being, not mine. It's not what makes me feel good. It's what makes you live good. Your highest well-being. If there is unwilling authority, there is sure to be unwise counseling. If I'm willing to take this time to preach with you like this, I'm willing to do this. If I'm willing to address what I sense, what I see, what I know is going on, that means I don't love you. I'm not worthy of my calling. And I expect you to respond and say, well, thank God that we've got a pastor that will tell us to our faces. And by the way, I'd like to put this in some preaching. I'm not talking to one individual in this room. I'm talking to all of you. Amen. Amen. This is for everybody. There must be pure motive. Look at verse 2 again. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight willingly, not for money, not for filthy money. Yet there are blessings behind what I do. Let's address that now. Well, you don't do it for money. I know that you get a love offering. Yes, I do. And for those of you that question that, I'm not going to read it for you. You read it yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 14. I have a right to spiritual blessings. I have a right to that. Now, you don't believe it? You just marked it and you read that. I'm not even going to take time in this sermon to go through that because that is so petty. See, some people say, well, I don't think he should get spiritual blessings. Well, I tell you what you do. You keep your pocketbook at home because God cannot use you anyhow to bless me. Freely you give, freely you receive. You give from a loving, willing heart. Don't give unwillingly. If you want to starve me out, go right ahead and seek to do that. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. So I don't care nothing about that. But I wanted to give you that scripture in case you come across and say, there it is. You read it for yourself. Pure pastors don't look for the money. A real pastor don't look for the money. I don't look and see, well, is it payday? Yeah. Hey, is it payday? Hey, my payday comes when the resurrection comes. Yeah. Amen. All pastors. Sister Stanley, your late husband is waiting on payday. Amen. When that payday comes and God is going to say to him, hey, pastor of Olivet. And then when that resurrection, he's going to say, hey, there's Coleman. He was a pastor of Olivet. How do we know that amongst us is the next pastor of Olivet? How do you know one of these kids, one of these boys here, may be the next pastor of Olivet? We will all stand before him and then we'll say, there's payday. There's payday. So see, payday isn't the first of the month. No, it isn't. Godly pastors don't look for that. Pastors serve others, not themselves. I serve you. I do not serve myself. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about this service in terms of the gifts. Because you see, there are some people call themselves pastors who doesn't even have a gift to do anything but to take in everything. They want to take it. You do for me, and they don't stay up late trying to get anything together. I know some preachers, they call me sometimes. They say, brother, I got to preach. And so I said, well, amen. What do you have together? Nothing. What can I get together? I said, did you spend any time in prayer asking what God wants for that congregation? I says, now I can show you how to outline. I can show you how to connect things together, but what about what God has for that congregation? If I give you the subject matter, that church may need something else different. That takes prayer. That takes time in the study. That takes time on your knees. I was talking with Brother Shig earlier. We were here Tuesday night, and I was putting the title of the sermon on the board. Brother Shig said to me, wow, you have the message already? No, I just had what I was going to call it. A little bit from the area where I was coming from. But no, I didn't have the message together until Wednesday or Thursday. And it's not together yet because what, church? I'm not even finished preaching it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what God is going to have me say. Amen. Look at this. It also says in verse 3 that pastors, I'm talking about my role before I get to yours, should be an attractive example. I don't mean attractive in beauty and being handsome and knowing how to dress and all that. I have people to help me do that. Amen. But I'm talking about attractive in terms of the Christian example. Look at verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples. All right? Being examples to the flock. In other words, elders are to be specimen Christians. The elders are to be the ultimate of what your church is built on. How is the life of Olivet? Look at its pastor, and you see what its members should be like. Because its pastor is like Jesus, its members are like Jesus, and the gospel that comes from the pulpit and the evangelistic outreaches are like Jesus. The pastors are to be pure specimens of the Christian life. That's my role. I am to be a model in administering the office. That's what I'm to be. I am to be a role model for these youngsters in this church. What if one of these young boys came up to you parents and says, you know what? Pastor John, I want to be just like him. Now, I don't mean in my likes and dislikes, but that's what I mean by role models. When kids see somebody that says, you know, I want to be just like him. But now what if I was wishy-washy, beat around the bush, had double standards, okay, had favorites. Some people I like, some people I didn't like. And as that kid grows up, he's going to see that. And he's going to say, Daddy, you know, John is two-faced. I don't want to be that way. I admonish you parents to make sure that your children don't see you as two-faced. You say one thing, and then you mean another thing, and the child is looking at you, and then looking at Pastor John, and looking at you, and then looking at another Christian, and then the child gets it immediately. It's so pure to the child. The child will never say anything to you because they love you. He'll never say anything to you, but they see right through the facade, the front. And the same thing, they'll see it through me too. They'll say, well, Pastor John, I heard you say this, but you did my mama this way and you didn't do that. I think that you're a hypocrite. I hope these kids will never be able to come to me and say that. I am to be a model in personal character. That's to be expected. See, I know what my role is. Now let's come down to the second and last point of this sermon. The flock's role.
Amen. Hey, listen, before we get into your particular role, I'd just like to let you know that side one was talking about me, and side two is going to speak about you. And as you get into that, I want you to think about, before you just turn the tape over, think about whether I meet that role or that criterion. If I don't meet it, you need to talk with me. I mean, you need to have a serious talk. You know, you can say, Pastor John, it's one thing for you to preach like that, but it's another thing for you to live like that. Well, after you listen to side two, we're going to see if that goes for you too, all right? Let's go to side two. God bless. Fidelity, all right.
Wow. You know, this is really good for me to listen to, because this sermon was preached, so many years ago. And it makes me stop and think, yeah. July 13th, 1986. That was before I was ordained as the senior teacher of the ministry. My role. Now, let's get into what their role is, huh? That should be interesting. Here we go. Fidelity.
Your role. See, now that's mine. Now that's heavy. Because see, I've got to live this sermon every day of my life until I drop dead. Your role is found in just two verses, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, now let's pause right here. Peter starts off with something saying likewise. In other words, he's already discussed the elders' part. He says, now the elders have a particular part. I'm not through yet. In the same way that I am serious about you elders being responsible for duty and obligation and loyalty and honor and respect and all those other good characteristics, likewise, he says, ye younger. Now, let's not get a little confused about this. This doesn't mean, because you see, some of you Christians here are much older than me. And so when we say younger, we don't mean in terms of age. It means in terms of not even office. There's a unique thing in the language here, ye younger, which takes in not only you that are younger in the faith, not only you that might be younger in age and in immaturity in dealing with life, but you that are not at that particular role in discipling. You can be 60 years old. You could have been in charge of, Miss Stanley, God bless you, I love you. I'm going to use Miss Stanley as a fine example. When I first came to this church, Sister Stanley was in charge of one of the Bible classes here with the little workers that she had. Sister Stanley had that for years going on with that, and my wife and I attended. It was a wonderful thing. Now, but guess who is Sister Stanley's pastor? I am, and she taught me in Sunday school. See? She is the younger. See what I mean? Even though she's a spiritually mature Christian, she is subject to me. See what I mean? She understands that lot, that role, that position. Miss Stanley didn't say, well, I taught that young rascal. He can't tell me anything. I remember when he came here, he didn't know anything. Yes, you're right. I sure did. And when I came here, I had no intention, Sister Stanley, when I was sitting in the second row on that side of the church, that I would ever be pastor here. No intention. Look at verse 5.